You're listening to 99.1 WQRT LP Indianapolis, and this is Create Here. Produced by artists and curators from Big Car Collaborative, Create Here is your place to listen to conversations with people making intriguing, innovative, and impactful things happen on the cultural front in Indianapolis, Indiana, and beyond. Find out more and access additional episodes at WQRT.org. This episode features Dr. Jared Nicholas Dorch as he interviews artist Rebecca Robinson. Dr. Jared Nicholas Dorch is part of a movement of Black artists and curators, largely underrepresented in museums and galleries, who are hosting exhibits and curating work that shines a light on Black culture. He is also a member of The 18, a collective of local artists who made history by painting the Black Lives Matter mural on historic Indiana Avenue in downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. Since this offering, he has been part of exhibitions and programs all over the city. He has been affiliated with Big Car as a community artist and gardener at the Tube Factory Art Space, including the APLR program down here in Garfield Park. This episode features a segment from MLK Day 2022 as he interviews his fellow artist of the 18 Collective, Rebecca Robinson.
This is your host, Dr. Jared Nicholas Dorch, APR artist for Big Car. Also, we wanted to give a shout out to all of those individuals that are listening either on the radio today or listening worldwide via streaming at WQRT.org. Thank you so very much. Today, I've had the honor to sit and talk about MLK, the civil rights movement, art, culture, being a member of the Black culture, and Indianapolis with some great individuals. One of my favorite people has joined us in the studio, Ms. Rebecca Robinson. She is an artist, an advocate. She's kind of like the person that pushes me to be better and to do better and to keep moving with the art. She's a member of the 18 Collective, the Black Lives Matter mural, and she's also one of the founding members of We Are Indie Arts, an arts organization that's been around for how long now?
About 6 years.
So, predating the mural painting, people have been in the city doing some cultural works prior to and since the upheaval and issues that were faced a couple years back and prior to this pandemic that we're living in now. So first off, I've kind of introduced you as what I know of you and what I know about you, but could you tell us who you are?
Let's see, how long do we have? Well, yes, I'm Rebecca Robinson, and I am a mixed media artist and also a creative. I've been creative all my life. I love the arts. I was fortunate to go to a Montessori school when I was younger, I think from the age of 3 or 4 till about 11 or 12 years old. So,
can you explain what a Montessori school is to some people?
Yeah, non-traditional learning. We definitely thrived on being individuals, and we learned about accountability and learning about our creative selves, and it was amazing. I mean, at a young age, I didn't realize how lucky I was. The school had about 50 kids. All nationalities, all backgrounds. We took ballet. I mean, these were mandatory things, but, you know, learning Latin and French. French back then was the second language. We learned about theater. We learned about reading and writing and taking time even just to go outside. Like, we had these contracts. I remember being like 5 or 6 years old, and when we got there in the morning, we had to write down exactly what we wanted to do for the day, and we were held accountable. You know, you could put math and reading and science and art, and you could put outside. Some people put that first, and some people put that at the end of the day. I was one of the kids that would put it at the end of the day because it was more like a reward, and we were encouraged to, you know, play and interact with other kids and empathize and be kind and generous people.
So just off the bat, you think that experience helped to maybe not mold you, but to help to influence the way that you are, not only as an individual, but as an artist, as a creative individual?
Absolutely. The school is called Children's House. It still exists today, but when I was there, it was actually a house. So it definitely influenced me because it was a safe space. It was a place where I felt like I thrived, just learning how to be an individual and be a creative and touch on a variety of things, because I feel like I have several different gifts, and I say gifts because I felt like I was a gifted child, and my parents always pushed me to just try different things, and I really enjoyed that experience, and it definitely made me the person that I am today.
That being said, what do you think people misunderstand about you the most?
Let's see. I'm very approachable and kind and very sweet, and I'm the type of person that everybody likes to confide in or talk to. But I think some people don't realize, you know, my personal hardships. And just because someone smiles a lot or is very positive does not necessarily mean that they're not going through certain life challenges.
No, I understand that. I know that luckily I've had you around to talk to about certain things, especially as I've been trying to navigate this artistic journey. And people don't realize that so much of what you do on canvas, on the radio, on paper, or wherever is totally determined by how you're feeling inside in the spaces that you occupy.
Yeah, art saved me, you know, just for, I've never been like one of those kids that was like super quiet or introvert or anything like that. I was always really outspoken and you know, love interacting with, and it was interesting, even as a child, I interacted with older people. For whatever reason, older people like talking to me. but I think just by certain things that I might have been hesitant to talk about or express myself, the art was always there to allow me that self-expression, and I'm so grateful for that.
No, I definitely know that for someone, I talked to Thomas Nealon earlier, and we were talking about, you know, as a man of color, it's sometimes difficult for us to either not only articulate, but to be seen to have weaknesses or to emote even. Mm-hmm. So I know that's been therapeutic for me to work in the studio and to do art and to be able to spend time doing some of the things that I feel comfortable with and just trying to letting go for that time period. It's not always the emotion's going to take place and be something that you see that comes out of it, but sometimes it's just the chance to think about something else and to work on something else.
Absolutely.
Which has been immensely important for me as an individual.
Yeah.
So what is your favorite holiday movie and what does it say about you?
My favorite holiday movie probably would be Christmas Story.
Okay, yeah.
I love that. They play it over and over again.
It deserves to be, though. Yeah.
I love that movie. It's just, you know, a great movie. I will say a movie I will not watch is Rudolph.
Oh, they do so bad, yeah.
I can't watch the one, I guess it's kind of like the original one where the characters are kind of like fuzzy, the animation was kind of weird. It wasn't even animated, it looked like little puppets.
Yeah.
But every time I try to watch that movie, and the part where Rudolph, you know, he put the fake nose on, and I remember he went out to play with everybody, and something happened and his nose came off, and everybody abandoned him, and he went off into the snow. I mean, I just start welling up thinking about it. And even I just can't watch it, because to me that symbolizes a lot what people do to other people, you know, just because you're different.
Yeah.
And that resonates with me so much. But yes, yeah, so.
And they don't need him until, you know, it's too snowy outside. His nose got, you know, a minute ago, you didn't like me.
Right.
Back then, you didn't want me. Now I'm hot.
Yeah,
now
but he was a G. Yeah. Look, he was the one leading that whole
thing. Yeah, I'm in front. You know what I'm saying?
See, so that teaches you a lot, you know?
So what does MLK Day mean to you?
MLK Day, you know, it's not just the day, it's every day. And what Dr. Martin Luther King definitely wanted all of us to do is be, you know, protest with purpose. That's what I say, with and use your voice and be able to listen and to understand and to speak your mind, but also take action in a way that definitely could bring people possibly to be on one page, if not even empathize with what that mission is. Overall, I just feel like it's not just the day, it's every day. And it's something I try to practice, you know, with getting people to understand all sides and being able to empathize more than anything.
And knowing you and your body of work well enough, I know that not only MLK, but also other civil rights leaders have played an important part in the work that you produce. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about that a little bit? I know there's one of my favorite is the John Lewis piece.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what influenced you to do that piece or do pieces of that nature, what it means for you to be able to do that, and what you want your audience or potential patrons to get out of that?
Yeah, I mean, I did focus a lot on John Lewis, and I appreciated a lot what he stood for and, you know, everything that he went through, you know, as a civil rights activist. And, you know, I never really set out to be, you know, an activist, you know, like I guess maybe that might be just born in an individual. And I grew more into knowing like, oh, okay, I have this platform now. How can I express myself as well as teach others about important people like Dr. Martin Luther King or John Lewis or, you know, even I did a piece on Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I mean, it's just certain people, prominent people that we all need to know and learn. And I'm learning every day too. And there's people that are current that are doing some amazing things in our city and around the country, you know, to honor these civil rights.
This might be a little, I'm a history guy, so going all the way back to the cave days, hieroglyphs and cave drawings were used to document the history of people, mm-hmm. and so that those who came after would still have an understanding and a remembrance. Do you feel that part of your work, part of your purpose as an artist is to document what's going on for those who have come after us?
Absolutely. Everything is a footprint, and it could be negative, it can be positive, and I hope to leave those positive footprints. And just my perception, I always say art is the universal language, and whether you agree or disagree, sometimes you just can't stop but admire or ask questions. It creates a dialogue, it creates conversation, and that's the only way as human beings we're ever going to make change or be better people is to stop and listen and, you know, take time to understand maybe what someone else is expressing or what shoes they're walking in. And I think that always helps.
As we talk about, as you brought up creating conversation, mm-hmm. Me and you did the mural together.
We did.
And I remember that first time I met you, you were off content side, uh-huh. and I was with Chalky, and Chalky was looking and seeing what's going on. Chalky's my dog. Mm-hmm. And we had, I think we were finishing the second day, trying to make sure everything was wrapped up. And then, of course, everybody knows that the mural, the Black Lives Matter mural on Indiana Avenue was defaced, and we dealt with that.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about what we did that day and what was done? And to an extent, like, how do you, what do you feel about that as a part of your overall art career?
Well, when I think about that day, or even just that weekend, I mean, then I've been asked this question a lot for the past couple of years, and I could just say it was electric. It was amazing. It's interesting how, you know, the call went out to do the mural, and I'm sure there were certain people that really jumped on it and wanted to be a part of it. There were certain people that were against it, and I was, you know, conflicted. I wasn't sure, but then in my heart I knew it was something that I wanted to say and something that I wanted to be a part of. So definitely when I showed up that day, and what's interesting, the morning of the mural, I think we were supposed to be there, you know, between 8-9 a.m. and I took a fall. I think I was up till maybe 2 or 3 in the morning doing some stencils, and I was just really exhausted. Got up the next morning, I ended up falling, and I fell on my face and on my hand. So when I got to the mural site, my hand was bothering me. Later found out I broke my hand, and I still did the mural.
Yeah, I remember. That's what we were talking about, like, what's going on?
Right.
Like I can't say anything because her hand broke.
Right. I say that to say it was so important to me that I didn't even think about the pain anymore. You know, I was in pain, but it was just so important. And I know we had to stop several times because it started to rain a little bit. But the energy was so cool. And just to be a part of that was bigger than anything. Like, there was a few of the artists that I did know. There were several that I didn't. But everybody was in the zone. Everybody was, you know, doing their thing. And I remember the DJ was playing music, you know, we had some food that was donated, and it was just amazing just to be in that moment. And I'm just honored that we were selected. 18 people, there was hundreds of people that probably wanted to do it.
It's interesting because from that point, like, I've dug more deeply into the artists of color in our city and learned more and got to meet more of them. I was like, man, there's some great talent out here. And I'm just like, I don't feel bad, because I think that from that opportunity, I've done a lot of good things. I've tried to do things and try to make sure that I steward the opportunity to create other opportunities for others.
Absolutely.
But there are so many talented people in the city, and keep hanging around. Stanky Bear Presents will be bringing multiple artists to listen here next month for Art and Vinyl. But we also will be doing things around town with bringing more artists to the forefront. But one of the things that I know some individuals might deal with is the fact that for some of the, and I won't say younger, but the, I guess, less experienced, because you can be less experienced and be older. I mean, I'm older, but yet less experienced than many of the artists that were there. Do you consider this like a career defining moment or just a step in your total career? Because you've been doing this for a while now.
Yeah.
You've got, you got the credibility and the respect from the community already.
I would like to say that I do. And the journey never stops. And I mean, I'll just be honest, being part of the collective, doing the mural, definitely, you know, it has helped a lot, and it has brought more attention. But that also brings up a point. If this didn't happen, would I have gotten as much play? Would I have gotten as much attention? Would people be focusing on what I do? I have wanted to be an artist for as long as I can remember, and I've had more years of stress and struggle and trying to prove my talent and trying to constantly reinvent yourself. I mean, it's only so much you can do, but it only takes, you know, one person to really see what you're trying to do in the bigger picture. There's a lot of artists out there. There's a lot of creative people out there. But what makes you different? I say persistence trumps talent any day. So if you're not serious about what you do, if you're not willing to bend and to learn and to grow, I always tell artists, don't get stuck. You know, stop thinking that, you know, if you think you're all that and you don't have any more to learn, then you're going to be in trouble. So this was just a great opportunity for me to really just show the world, hey, look, she didn't just start here. You know, I've done some pretty amazing things over the past 20 years, you know.
Yeah, because your back catalog comes out now. Like, people get the opportunity to explore your works, explore the things that you've been doing for, like you said, the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I know that for, I think for everybody, it's really sparked a lot of curiosity and evolution in them to do better as it comes to what they're, not do better, but create different things, to create more, to push themselves, to see that there are no bounds or limits to what they can do. And if you're interested in learning more about the 18 Collective, go to www.18artcollective.com. You'll find information about each of the individual artists. Also, you'll have links to everybody's Instagram and social media. So there's a lot of things coming up in the next 3 or 4 days, it seems like. So there'll be some things coming out, and I'll make sure I post those things up on my social media handles at Jared Dorch on Instagram, and Snuggy Bear Presents on Instagram. So speaking of that, what are some of the projects that you're currently working on?
Actually, I mean, definitely doing some exhibits here and there, but I really have been working on some personal work. I think 2020 and 2021 took a toll on me. I was really tired. I was happy to be working. I was happy to finally just, you know, get the calls left and right, the emails left and right, the invites left and right. But it definitely took a toll on me as far as stress is concerned. And I realized I was putting out work, but was it something that I just organically did, you know? And I missed that. I missed just being able to create and do it just for me. And sometimes I think you end up doing artwork or whatever your craft is, you end up doing it for other people. And I personally, you know, I don't want that to just be the end all be all for me, where it's like I have to do what someone else is requiring me to do. I want to do what I love to do, and someone really appreciates that.
I feel you.
You know?
I feel you. I think I was speaking to Thomas earlier, and I know personally it's kind of been that way. Like, getting my feet into it last year, I was just trying to make sure that I did what I needed to do for what I needed to have it done. But now I'm just finding the time to just make myself do. And you've been impetus, Gary G. Y'all stay on me by just being in the studio, working, letting things manifest themselves as they come. Thomas had a great line about words being like the paintbrush and just kind of letting it go and seeing what comes from it. It might be abstract, it might be formalized, but whatever comes from it, comes from it. And I feel like it's really been highly impactful in what I've been trying to do and stepping my game up. So I don't feel as, you know, in the back of the room when it comes to hanging around with you guys. So,
right. And you gotta have some other talents and hobbies or whatever it is. I mean, sometimes I don't want to see a paintbrush. I don't want to see canvas. I don't want to see anything to do with art. You know what I mean? You have to take a break because I still want to love it. I don't want to loathe being an artist or feel like, you know, I'm caught in between, like, oh, I never want to get to the point where I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. Man. And I've had those moments where I'm like, this is not for me anymore. And I will take some time off, and then something always leads me back. So I know I'm where I'm supposed to be.
I understand that. That makes a lot of sense. We're going to backtrack a little bit to, do you feel like the dream is by any means measured, like up to the measure now? Like, are we close? Are we there? Is it even something that can, is it, I always say that it's something that we, you know, want to get to, but is it even comparable that could happen?
That's a really tough question, because I think we're constantly, over the years, decades, we're always just working towards something. Yes, progress has been made, but as far as the dream being achieved, I think that's yet to see. But we're well on our way, better understanding. But it seems like every time you take a step forward, something happens that takes us back again. And I think this is going to go on for generations and generations. And it's just a matter of what you do during your time here. That's really all you can do. I mean, one thing I can say, my dad, and he will be 90 years old in February, and he's seen it all. Mm-hmm. He's been through a lot, but he said he's never seen anything like the Black Lives Matter movement. And that's very powerful. So I will say, you know, for him to give his perspective on the things that he's seen about racial, you know, inequality and the civil rights, for something like that to stand out to him and know that I was a part of that, that means so much to me. So progress, yes, if you do your part and you feel like you've, you know, done something to contribute to whatever this dream is that Dr. Martin Luther King aspired to see, then you can be happy about that. You can be grateful for that. But as far as it saying, okay, we've made it, everything's done and over with, we're good, you know, kumbaya, no, not at all. We have a lot of work to do.
Thank you. This is 99.1 WQRT LP Indianapolis. I'm here with a creative artist extraordinaire, Ms. Rebecca Robinson. She brought to the table this 5-star album. This is All Fall Down by 5-star. I'm going to need to brush up on this. I don't know too much about this one, so we're going to let that ride out. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about art, MLK, and about our community.
All fall down.
Welcome back to Snuggie Bear Presents MLK Day 2022 on 99.1 WQRT FM, or find us on WQRT.org to stream us live here, there, and everywhere. I am having a great conversation with Ms. Rebecca Robinson. She is a visual artist, a creative, a member of We Are Indie Arts, and also a fellow 18 Art Collective member that helped create the Black Lives Matter mural on Indiana Avenue a couple summers back. So just a few more questions I have for you. What are some of the common myths about what you do and your job?
That I'm, well, definitely, like, I say mainstream may say, like, what I do is a hobby.
Wow. Your little thing you do, yeah, a little thing you do, your little hobby.
Yeah.
Your little art.
Yeah, my little art. Oh, little that's business. So cute.
Yeah.
I was like, look, I don't need likes. I need you to hit that buy button.
Boy.
But yeah, I mean, when I got out of high school, I remember talking to... It was a friend of mine, his mom, and, you know, it was one of those conversations that you ask kids, like, oh, where are you going to school, and what are you going to do? And I was like, oh, I want to go study art. And I remember she said, oh, you can't get a job in that. You're not going to make any money. And I was thinking, like, wow, lady, you know, that was...
Dirtball?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you know? But she wasn't the only one that thought that way, I'm sure. And a lot of traditional, you know, households, you know, when you tell a parent, I'm going to move to New York.
I'm going to dance. I'm like, a photographer.
Right. So you know. I'm not saying it was easy, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but I think the support is mandatory and necessary, because if you think about it, anything to do with art and creativity and all things beautiful, someone had to do that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Someone is designing everything that's around you. So, you know, I think we need a lot more credit. So, you know, when I think about that misconception, you know, people say, oh, you know, she does that and, you know, whatever. But this is my career. This is my job.
Yeah. That's very... I was lucky enough that in my household, my mom, she did some, she used to sketch like clothes. And my brother actually was a really good artist. He went to Heron, but he passed away at a young age for him and a young age for me.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, he taught me some of the basic techniques and things, like, you know, how to draw faces, how to, you know, how to sketch stuff and what to use. And I used to ink some of his work for him, so I got to learn about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I never really thought about it as a profession or something that I could make money from or I could make a living from. To me, it was just something I did because it was a family trait to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
Even my dad was a landscaper, but he, you know, part of landscaping is a creative art, like creating,
it is.
You know, some of the work that he did is beautiful, you know, and he had no training in it. He just was good at it.
Right.
So I think that now, as I've gotten older, those traits have gone into me, and I find myself going back to those, even though I've been, you know, I'm educated and I'm a teacher. But these are the things that I do not only to help, you know, build a household, but also just to make me a more well-rounded and universal individual. I've always loved to look at art and love to go to museums and love to learn and read about things. But now I'm actually learning some of the more important things and, like, the background work and what really goes into it. Because coming into this, like, you know, I didn't even know about backing, making something gallery ready or putting in, you know, I didn't know about it. I'm always asking questions. And I find that anything that has me asking questions has to be a great thing.
When you say, and that's good that you were introduced to certain things that, you know, sparked some interest, and you know, maybe in your mind you didn't think you were going to have a career in the arts.
No, not at all. I really was like, my brother was really good at it, and I was like, it's not something that, I mean, I was more like out chasing girls and playing football and sports and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that was his bag. So I was like, you know, that's your thing. I was supported him and loved him. And but then I come to find out, luckily also, I had schools that had good art programs. So art was something that we had in school, and I had the opportunity to, you know, make clay and do ceramics and, you know, work with different paints and do a lot of things that school kids are not getting now.
Yeah. And a lot of kids aren't getting that now because they're taking a lot of that out of.
I was always encouraged to just keep drawing, keep doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, about 10 years ago, I started working with Big Car. And I always tell people I'm a community artist. I'm getting more understanding and more able to, but I wasn't built like, I like to go out and draw teddy bears with kids and like, you know, things like that. So now I'm learning like about fine art, about, you know, beyond viewing it, but how to not say create it, but have a better understanding of how it comes into being.
Yeah.
So it's just really been a huge learning process, which is good for me.
But don't get the impression that I had it all figured out. I mean, when I was going to college, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to study. I knew it was art related, but I went into fashion first. Mm. And I applied to FIT, Parsons. I think back then my dad was like, no, you're not going, you know, to New York or whatever. But in my mind, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna be this fashion designer. But I ended up getting accepted to a school in Atlanta. It was called Bodder College, Fashion College or something. And they had an associate's degree program. I don't really talk about it, the associate's degree that I have in fashion, because even back then, it was almost looked at like if you had this degree less than, you know, whether it was bachelor's or your master's, people were like, oh.
As a community college instructor, I'm all for the associate's degree. I'm all for it. For some people, it's everything they need.
Yeah.
For some people, it's a great starting point.
It is. It was just like this negative thing, you know, and it was something in fashion. So people still weren't taking me seriously. So when I got that degree, I did know, I knew I wanted to go back to school and even get more education, which I did. I ended up going to HBCU, North Carolina Central University in Durham, and I studied visual communication. Mm. So it was pretty much everything, you know, from marketing, graphic design, printmaking, figure drawing, painting, everything. So I was able to have the fashion and the fine art background.
But all that being said, you do create some fashion pieces, or you have in the past.
I do. I spent 10 years starting a line of handbags. It's called Snob, PSNOB. The P is silent. And Snob put me through a lot. I don't talk about it a lot now because it was a turning point for me. I felt like I did something cutting edge. I did something ahead of my time, and people weren't ready. And I spent a lot of time, resources, sacrificed a lot. And it got to the point where I said, you know, people aren't respecting me as an artist. And I wanted to paint again and to show, like, okay, it's not just some lady that's making handbags. I am an artist. And so I let the handbag thing go. I put it on the shelf. I started painting again back in maybe 2011, 2012. So it used to be the brand Snob. That's how people knew me. Now people know me as Rebecca Robinson, and they're kind of circling back like, oh my gosh.
It might be time to pull some of them bags off that shelf.
Well, I am going to reintroduce the bags. I won't say where.
Okay.
But I am going to bring that back and shock everybody.
That's beautiful, because, I mean, I've seen some of the stuff, and, I mean, people are ready. They're ready. Also, okay, so I've been saying this to everybody. You know that I do garden work, and I'm big on growing vegetables and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite garden vegetable and why?
My favorite garden vegetable? Maybe, I like greens. Anything to like collard greens. I like turnip greens. I like mustard greens.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to have a garden, too, and I always loved doing tomatoes. They didn't do that well the last couple of years.
It's been
for
crazy.
Me. Yeah.
You also didn't call me.
So. I didn't. Yeah. So next time I will.
Yeah.
But really any kind of vegetable. I love all vegetables. I really do. So I don't really have a favorite, but, you know.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's important to me, because I think that anytime you're growing anything is a sign of beauty. So either you're growing as an individual, growing as an artist, or growing vegetables, it all comes full circle. Growing community, building networks, it's all a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Two more for you. This one's pretty loaded, though, too. So what would be your statement to the world on this MLK Day 2022?
Life is definitely beautiful, but it's even more beautiful with beautiful people in it.
So where can we find you?
You can find me at artistrebeccarobinson.com. I'm also on Instagram at snob, and that's P-S-N-O-B, the P is silent. And I'm also on, let's see, Twitter, and I think YouTube too. Anything, okay. You can Google snob, you're going to find a lot from my past, but you can also visit my website, snob.com. So either way, you can find me.
And you have your current works up on your Instagram and your website?
I do. On my website, everything's on there. How to contact me. I also do a lot of community work, you know, with young artists or, you know, young people who want to pursue the arts. I love talking to people about the, it's in consulting as far as the business side of art.
And that's very important. Like, that's a huge part of that could be the make or break piece for some artists, handling the business end of it.
Yeah, and I try to tell people it's very important. You know, you can be as creative as you want, but learn about the business side, about protecting your work and intellectual property and trademarks and copyrights. There's no excuse to not own and understand what that means and how important that is. Learn about contracts before you're just signing away. I also have some nonprofit ventures coming up, and I put a lot on my plate, but I do want to provide affordable legal resources for artists and creatives.
That's awesome. That's necessary too. Another thing that I will never forget, Ms. Rebecca Robinson told me straight up, you don't want to burn no bridges.
No.
You don't want to burn no bridges. Get this done.
Yeah, you can burn it in your mind. You can say, you can do whatever you want.
I ain't going to do this no more.
You're right. Just, you know, just keep it cool. Keep it professional. Sometimes things don't work out, or you might have a bad experience. But chalk that up. That's your experience. And just always just be polite, be kind, be professional. And, you know, you can have your little moment by yourself or talk it over with your loved one or whoever. But, you know, in the streets, you know, be that person that people can still say they respect you.
And I really appreciate that. At the time, I was like, man. But I know that I also knew that you were right.
And
I think that me taking that into consideration has benefited me over the course of the last year.
Yeah, and trust me, there's some people that's crossed me the wrong way. They didn't know. And a lot of people, you know, I'm very nice, I'm kind, but I don't play when it comes to business.
I feel you.
And when they do, I don't have to say anything. I'm done with it.
That's
you know?
Right, yeah.
Yep.
All right, so thank you so very much, Ms. Rebecca Robinson.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here. And I want to say happy Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King Day to everyone. And I appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you so much.